is still in control. He has a purpose. He has a reason. That should bring a little bit of encouragement to you. That should reduce your stress level a little bit. What exactly is purpose? Well, I'm glad you asked. Purpose is an advanced plan, something intentional and designed. In other words, purpose is when people have thought about something and they design something and has an intentionality about it. In other words, it's designed to create this. This is what I want the outcome to do. Can I tell you what? God is a God of purpose. Not only is he a God of purpose, he's also a God of design. And can I tell you something else? God's plans for us are eternal and unchanging. Let me say that again. God's plans for you and I are eternal and unchanging. The reason God put you on the planet was not just because you could live for 80 years and then die and cease to exist. He put you on a planet for a purpose that probably is greater and transcends your own imagination. And we're going to talk about that this morning. God's plans for us are eternal and unchanging. 2 Timothy 1:8-9 says this, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel." Wait a minute, Pastor Ken. You mean I got to suffer for the gospel? Yeah, that's what it says. "I got to suffer for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes." God has a purpose, and he's called us to suffer, to go along with this thing called the gospel for a reason that's bigger than our own comfort and convenience and our own pleasure. According to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. So what's he saying here? God has created us for a specific purpose, for a specific destiny. And the Bible tells us he has predestined us to do something that we would not do otherwise unless we knew there was a purpose. There is a reason why God put you here in Tallahassee, Florida. There is a reason why you were born in the family you were born in. There's a reason why you're in the school you're in. There's a reason. You think, well, there's no rhyme and reason to me, but God has an overarching reason and purpose, and it hasn't changed. And some of us think, well, I'm doing it because I want to do it. I've chosen this major. I've chosen this situation, or I've chosen this job. You may have, but God has superintended your choices so you would choose what he wanted you to choose. It's eternal. He upholds it by his eternal power. From all eternity. Can I tell you what? God not only is a God who has purpose, he's also a very good planner. And because he's a good planner, he designs things in our life, whether we're aware of it or not. This is a great quote by Miles Monroe. He says this, God has made everything for a purpose. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Let me read that again. God has made everything for a purpose. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. In other words, if I don't know what something is made for, I am going to misuse it. Okay? How many have this thing called a cell phone that you have in your lap or in your pocket or in your purse? Yeah, you have it. You know what? If you didn't know what that was for, if you thought it was a hammer, you would misuse it, would you not? Now, can I tell you, cell phones make a good hammer for about one nail. After one nail, they are not very good hammers anymore. Why? Because whoever made the cell phone did not design it for that purpose. There's a thing called a hammer that is designed to drive nails. So if you use something that wasn't designed to do something it wasn't designed to do, it's called abuse. If you live your life, if I live my life according to my carnal dictates and the secular ways of the world, can I tell you what? I am going to abuse my life and this thing called purpose that God has put on me as an individual on the planet. Say amen or oh my. God has made everything for a purpose. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. We had a thing on Thursday night on sex and relationships. Can I tell you what? God has created sex. Are you going to talk about that in church? Absolutely. God has made sex for a reason, but he hasn't caused it just to satisfy your carnal desires. He's caused it to be a relationship between one man and one woman in a covenant called marriage where they can produce love and pleasure and, most importantly, produce one of the greatest things in the world, another human being. That's the reason for sex. Nothing more, nothing less. It's God's invention. But when we don't understand it and we misuse it, we violate not only the purpose of it, but we violate other people and we defraud them. And that's the culture we live in. So where purpose is not known, is abuse is inevitable. I have something in my pocket, and I'm going to pull it out. And if you know what this is, raise your hand. Don't shout it out. How many knows what this is? Raise your hand. Yeah. Okay. You know what? If I was born in the 1800s and I saw this contraption, I would think maybe it's a hypodermic needle to put in somebody's arm to put penicillin or some kind of medication in there. How many know it's not a hypodermic needle? Any nurses in the house? Where are the Filipinos? Okay, this is not a needle, is it? You know it's not. You know what? If I were from another nation and I'd never seen sporting events, I might think it's a thing where you put water in and it's a water pick. You've got to flush out your teeth like a toothpick. It might work like that. But how many know that it probably wouldn't be a good water pick? Don't try it, but it won't work. Now, someone would finally come up and say, wait a minute, Ken. They would bring a bottle up here and say, look, this is an air pump. This little needle doesn't go in your arm. It goes into a little nozzle in a ball, and you pump it up, and it works really well because that was the reason it was designed. Where design is not known, where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. The best way to know the design of some contraption or something that's been made is to ask the creator. You don't ask the thing, what were you made for? What were you made for? You ask the one who made it, what were you made for? The reason you need to know your purpose is because you serve a God of purpose. The one who made you has a destiny. He has a purpose. He has a reason for your life. Can I tell you what? You are not a random particle of chance and dead matter that just happened to evolve here. Let me tell you what. There is a God in heaven who puts you together, who puts you on this planet for this time, specifically for this purpose, to do something great, not just to watch YouTube and go to football games and eat fried chicken, as good as it is. God put you here for something greater than pleasure, greater than convenience, greater than all the things you can think of. God has a divine purpose and destiny for your life. That's why you're sitting here. If you're smart, you're going to say, God, what is the reason I'm here? Is it just to get married, retire, and die? No. It's to make something of your life. It's to be discipled so that you can benefit not only other people, but bring glory to God. You missed a good chance to say amen. There's some other terms we want to talk about. We talked about purpose, that purpose is an advanced plan made by a creator, designing us. You and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm a grandfather again this week, Rebecca and David. They had a beautiful baby girl, 9 pounds, 12 ounces. She's already 6'2". No, not quite. She's a big baby. Sonia Elise, gorgeous little girl. But let me tell you what, when I looked at her, I thought, you know, somebody designed this thing called a baby. You can't help but look at the design. And if you look at the design and the intricacy of the design of a creation, you see how great the creator is. So you look at that beautiful baby, it's alive. She can cry, she can sense light and pain. And she responds. It's a miracle. What a tremendous designer. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. We have purpose because we have a purposeful design. We have a purposeful reason that we've been put here. God has made everything for a purpose. Where purpose is not known, abuse. Somebody liked it. Praise God. That was from heaven, I guess. Okay, Ron, get off your YouTube. There's another term we want to look at. It's called fate. Now, that's what the world looks at, is it's this determinism that everything is fate, that it's this dead, it's this unseen power that rules over humanity. It's a dark cosmic determination that has no meaning or purpose. In other words, we're just a product of mindless particles bouncing around in the universe. It's all fate, and there's nothing we can do, and it's just going to happen out of random probability, and we're just creatures of fate. Can I tell you what? That is the furthest thing from the truth. Now, the most damnable thing about evolution is evolution says that's the case, that you're the product of a mindless universe that didn't have you in mind, and you're just dead particles and randomly a product of fate. The Bible doesn't say that. In fact, it says just the opposite. So we're not products of fate. We are products of God's providence, which is our next term. The word providence means to provide for. To provide for. It's the doctrine of providence tells us that the world and our lives are not ruled by blind chance or by fate, but rather by a God who superintends life and sustains you and I. Can I tell you what? If it wasn't for the providence of God, you would not be here right now. I would not be here. The providence of God, can I tell you what? You don't have to think about keeping your heart beating at night when you go to sleep. I mean, you know that. When you fall asleep, guess what? Your heart beats. Why? The providence of God. You know, have you noticed you don't have to concentrate about breathing when you fall asleep? Why? Because you have these automatic systems that God has put in your body that causes you to automatically breathe in oxygen and expel carbon dioxide. That's God's providence. How many woke up this morning and realized the sun rose in the east? You don't have to worry about it coming up on the west or the south. That would have really disrupted our planet if that had happened. It came in the east. It will come in the east tomorrow. It will set in the west. Let me tell you, there are providential rules and laws, natural laws that govern our physical body and our existence that God has put in place, and they'll remain in place. And God is a providential God. He provides. And there are a lot of people who say, God, he does provide, but then he's kind of detached. It's called deism, where he's up in heaven and he's put these natural laws in. He doesn't answer prayers. There's no more miracles. Oh, really? 2005, there was a hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico, tropical storm. It turned into a hurricane called Katrina. Everyone remember Katrina? It came ashore in Louisiana, Category 6 storm, which was very, very violent. Lots of water, lots of wind, lots of rain, a lot of destruction. When it hit New Orleans, it was headed right towards the city and right towards the New Orleans Baptist Seminary. Those Baptists there at the seminary realized that they were going to be destroyed, but what was more perilous was that there were looters already lining up outside the seminary gates wanting to go in and start stealing the property. So guess what the Board of Trustees did at New Orleans Baptist Seminary? They prayed. They prayed, God, would you please protect our property in the midst of this storm with all these looters running around New Orleans, stealing everything that's not nailed down and some things that were nailed down? Would you please protect our seminary and the books and all the property? One day later, the National Guard called the president of the seminary, and he said, we want to put a bivouac of our Coast Guard and National Guard. We want to base it on your campus. May we have it there? So they put the whole National Guard for the whole coast of Louisiana in this Bible seminary. Why? Because these men prayed, Lord, protect our property. Can I tell you something? God is a God who is sovereign, but he also is a God of providence. Providence. Not only God is God in control, but he is also directing matters according to his goodness and graciousness of his character. God is directing things in the world. He allows things to happen. He stops things from happening that you think should happen. How many here, don't raise your hand if you're a young person, if you're not so young. Did you ever pray to marry somebody and that you didn't marry them? Don't raise your hand. Aren't you so glad God didn't answer some of those prayers? Amen. Everybody's smiling. It's scary. It's scary what you thought was attractive 20 years ago. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. You know what? Most of us are going to praise God for eternity because of his unanswered prayers that we pray. Thank you, God, for not answering that prayer. Thank you, God, for not giving me what I thought I wanted. You know, there's two great devastating facts of life is when you don't get what you want. The second one is when you get what you think you want. Those are the two worst times in life. And God is providential. He will protect us from ourselves. He'll protect us from doing things that we think we want and want. Why? It doesn't add up to the purpose and the destiny that God has for you and me. He has a reason for you sitting here. You're not just a random accident. You're here because God in his sovereignty and his providential care, overarching all eternity, time and space, has put you here to hear a message, to get your life in order so you would do something that would bring eternal glory to him and help everybody else. Wow. You're not just here to have fun and graduate and get a job. You're here because God has got you here. You are a child of destiny. God has predestined some great things for you that you would never do on your own. And God is superintending, and he's providentially putting people in your lives to bring you to a point where God can use you. Amen. I hope you're still here. I hope you haven't gone home. What does the word sovereignty mean? I know some of you were thinking about that over breakfast. What does that mean, bro? Sovereignty is the biblical teaching that God is king. He's the supreme ruler over all the universe. He sustains all that dwells in it. God's sovereignty is characterized by his omnipotence and his justice. God rules and reigns over the nations. I love what the psalmist said. He said, don't be concerned about the nations. Don't be concerned about all these radical kings and rulers. He says, God has their heart in his hand. He can change it just like the wind changes the course of a ship on the ocean. God can change it in a moment. He's sovereign. I love what it says in Psalms 103:19. The Lord establishes his thrones in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all of his creation. God is king. He's eternal. He's not upset about the weather. He's not upset about what's going on in the political arena. He's not upset with what's happening in geopolitical issues. He is sovereign, and he's king, and he ultimately is going to bring about his will in the end. And he's going to use you and I to do it. How many know it's pretty cool to say God of the universe, creator of heaven and earth, wants to use my life, my little 80 or 100 years I'm on this planet, to do something that has spiritual and eternal significance. Wow, what an awesome thought. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. But don't talk to other people about your destiny. Why don't you ask God, what's he put you here for? So you remember? So where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. The thing you do is when you want to know about destiny or purpose, you ask the person who made that thing, what's the purpose for that thing? So you need to go to God and say, God, why am I here? What's my destiny? What's my purpose? It's not just to make a lot of money and not have a nice car and live in a nice gated community. It's something far greater than that. The Lord establishes his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. One of my favorite psalms, Psalms 139, 13 through 16. It says, for you, David is talking to God. He said, for you did form my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, O God, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and I was skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes, O God, saw my unformed substance when I was in my mother's womb before I ever saw the light of day. You have ordained those days before me, when as yet there was not one of them. And all my days were written in your book before I was born. Wow. What's he saying? That before your mother knew you, she was even pregnant with you, God had written your whole destiny, your plan of life that he had for you. He skillfully wove you in your mother's womb. You look the way you do because God has a purpose for you. The color of your skin is, you thank God for the color of your skin, whatever it is, because God has a purpose for you. He intentionally put you that way. He made you that way. Why? Because he has something that only you can do in the earth. He puts you here, and the Bible says that all the days of your life were written in his book before you ever were born. In other words, God has predestined some great things for you and I to do. Amen. You're not an accident. You're not just a random person with 8 billion people on the planet. God's hand is on you. He had a plan for you, and it's written in his book. And if you want to know what it is, you better connect to him. Because when you connect to him, that's when you connect to purpose. You want to get rid of all the mental illness. You want to get rid of all the insecurity and suicide. Let people find why they're here for and connect to their purpose and do it, and you'll see a healthy, mentally cured people. It's true. God's put you here. God's got a plan for you. You're not an accident. The reason you're dysfunctional or messed up is because you're letting other people or you're letting yourself tell you what your purpose is, and that's not your purpose. You never ask the thing what its purpose is. You ask the creator of the thing, what's the purpose for me? And when you do that, that's when sanity happens. That's when reality comes in line. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching. God... Let me tell you what, God has put you here for a reason. You are destined to be here. God wants to use you, but can I tell you what? You have a chance to reject God's purpose and negate it, or you have a chance to cooperate with it. I love this quote by Westminster Confessional. They said, what is man's purpose? Why are people on the earth? Here's what they came up with. These theologians, apostolic fathers, they said the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Your chief end is not to make a lot of money or live in a nice home or have a batch on the beach. That's a term that means a vacation home. Those are wonderful things, but that's not your end purpose. Your end purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him. To be connected to him. The chief end of the man is to glorify God. 1 Timothy says this, 1 Timothy 2, 1, 4 through 5. First of all, I urge you that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men and women who desire all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. The knowledge of the truth is God wants to know you. He wants you to be his son. He wants you to be his daughter. He wants you to fulfill his purpose, the reason he puts you here. He wants you to connect with him to the point where everything, all your plans become subservient to his plans. They become superficial compared to what God wants to do in your life. He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So for you to know your purpose, for you to be connected to your purpose, you're going to have to go to the one who made you. The way you find out why you're here for is go to the one who made you. Go to the creator of that thing, and you'll find out the purpose of that thing. God has put us here to know him. God has put us here so that we have a relationship and fulfill the purposes for our existence. Genesis 1:28 says this, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Fill the earth. Everyone say, fill the earth. Fill the earth. And subdue it and rule over it, over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, before that, God said in verse 27, he said he made Adam and Eve, and it was good. He made man and woman, and it was good. Everybody say, it was good. We don't need any other genders. We don't need any other pronouns to go by. Man and woman will suffice. Thank you very much. Okay? And so he said it was very good. Then he goes on to say this. He says that I want you to subdue the earth and rule over it. I want you to go and I want you to multiply and fill the earth. Everyone say fill the earth. Fill the earth. What are we to fill the earth with? More people? Yes. But what's he saying? In the verse right before that, he said that he made Adam and Eve in his image. Everyone say image. You know what gives you value? It's not your bank account. It's not your family name. It's whose image you bear. You are image bearers. The Latin word is imago Dei, that we bear the image of Christ, of God. You look like God. You bear his image. I bear his image. Why? We're different than the animals. We're different than all creation because we are the imago Dei. We're image bearers. He's saying, I want you to go and I want you to subdue the earth and spread the image of God, which is a relationship with God, which is you look like God, you act like God, you behave as God's advocates on the earth. God wants you and I to subdue the world, fill it with the image of God. That's God's nature. That's God's character. That's God's behavior. We're meant to fill it, not just with our looks, but with our godly character, the imago Dei. So our purpose in life is to bring glory to God, to know him, and to fill the earth with the image of God. That's how we connect to God. That's how we connect to purpose. The most devastating thing that I've heard when I see a young person in their 20s or 30s, or an older person for that matter, they come to me and they say, look, my life is not worth living. There is no reason for me to be alive. And they've contemplated taking their life. Can I tell you what? Our culture is full of those kind of people who've been detached from purpose, detached from any sense of destiny, because they believed a lie and they've gone after things that wouldn't satisfy. God wants you and I to be connected to him. And once we're connected to him, we're connected to his purpose. Once we're connected to his purpose, you better buckle up, sweetheart. You're in for the ride of your life. He will send you all over the planet. He will let you talk to people that you thought you could never talk to. He will let you interact with people who you thought you would never interact with. Why? Because you are image bearers and you're taking and you're filling the earth with the glory of God because you know your purpose. Your purpose is that, to be one who spreads the image and the likeness of God throughout the entire planet. Why do we do what we do? Because it's easy? No. Because it's convenient? No. Because people understand it? No. We do it because it's our purpose. It's our destiny. Why do I preach to people? Why do I tell people Jesus is the only way? Why do I tell them that there's greater worth in knowing God than having all the money in the world and having all the leisure in the world? Why do I do that? Because it is my purpose, because God has shown me it is the truth of reality and objective life. Why do we talk to people at the restaurant? We had our new members group. And then we were talking about giving our testimony. He said, what is that, Pastor Ken? What do you do? I said, we tell people about Jesus. We tell people, not just in church. You already know about him. We're going to talk to people out there. You know? I think she's here today. Where's my friend Kelly? Raise your hand, honey. Right there, Kelly. We talked to her over a steak dinner. Guess what? She's here because we talked to her and gave her a good tip. Amen. You know, we didn't go there just to eat dinner. We went there on a mission. Because God has a destiny. He has a purpose. He doesn't want you to live for 80 years and just die and then make it to heaven by the skin of your teeth. He wants your life to be significant. And the only way you can know purpose and walk in destiny is to know the God who put you here. You're in his image and likeness. And you need to understand that he has a plan for you. It's not just sitting in church for an hour hoping to get out and beat the Baptist at the chicken line. He's got you here for something greater than that. It's to be a disciple and be a world changer. Amen. Amen. That's what we're about. Well, I hope you liked the praise and worship. I hope you enjoyed the service. I hope you felt the Spirit of God. But more importantly, I hope you are convicted the fact that you need to be an image bearer. You need to embrace your purpose and your destiny. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. If we can get Corey up here, please. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your word. But Lord, you put us here for a reason. We're not just accidents. We're not just probability of just a mindless universe. But God, you have a purpose for us. Father, you cause all things to work together for good for those who are called according to your purpose. Lord, I thank you that these people are called according to a purpose. They may not know it. They may not know the creator who gave them design and purpose. But Lord, you know them. And they know in their heart they need to embrace this thing called purpose and destiny. They need to forget about being just a random person, just one more person in Tallahassee, and realize there's something unique and special that God has predestined them to do. Your heads are down, your eyes are closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I struggle with my purpose. I struggle with the reason why I'm alive. And I want to be honest with that because I want to know my purpose. I do want to know my destiny. I want to know why I'm here and what it is I'm meant to do. If you're here today with your heads down, your eyes closed, and you struggle with that area, I just want you to slip your hand up and say, that's me. Yeah. Yeah, you can put it back down. Father, all these people who've raised their hand across this room, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would show them the reason why you put them here is that they're image bearers. They're meant to know you. They're meant to glorify you. They're meant to enjoy your presence and emulate who you are to other people in Tallahassee, at Florida State, at FAMU, wherever they may be, across the state of Florida, across the nation, that, Lord, you would show them that they have a unique destiny that you have predestined, and sovereignly you've put them here for a reason. Father, I just pray that you would show people and connect them to their purpose, mainly to your purpose for them, God. So, Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. If you're here today, your heads are down, your eyes are closed, you're here today, you're not right with God. You say, Pastor Ken, I've heard this stuff before. I know it's true. I know that God is sovereign. God is providential. I've been resisting his sovereignty. I've been resisting God's plan for my life. I'm not walking with God. I'm not right with God. If I were to die today, it would not be a pretty picture. I need to get right with God. I need to repent. I need to make Jesus Christ Lord of my life. I want to turn away from my own sin and my own selfishness, and I want to begin trusting Christ and what he did for me on the cross. I need to repent. I need to find and embrace the purpose of God in salvation. If you're here today and you need that, you want to repent and give your heart to Jesus, I want you to slip your hand up high. Just slip it up high. Yes, yes. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, very good. You can put your hands down. Lord, these two individuals that raised their hand, Lord, I pray right now, just repeat after me right where you're sitting from your heart. Silently just say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for trying to create my own purpose. I'm sorry for trying to make my own life count on what I think is important and not important. And Lord, today I repent. I turn away from my sins. I turn away from me trying to be the king and God of my own life. And I give you my heart. I give you the control of my life. And I make Jesus the supreme God of my life. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I repent of my sins. I turn away from those things. And by your grace, give me the power to walk in a way that's pure and holy and righteous. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for forgiving me for my sins. And thank you for bringing me here today and providentially letting me hear the message that would save my soul from hell. Thank you, God, for all that you've done. I give you praise and glory, and I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a great hand clap here today? I want to just say a couple more things before we dismiss. The people who prayed with me at the end, I think there was two or three people who raised their hand. I want you to come up and talk to me. Don't leave, please. Come talk to me. We want to give you some material that will help you walk out your destiny in God. So please don't leave. There are other people here that you think, this is good, Ken. I like this, but how do I really fulfill this thing called destiny? I want you to understand we're going to be starting a Bible college here probably in the fall. And we're going to have a seminary, a proper theological seminary. We're going to help train and equip people to really fulfill their calling in God. We're not just going to preach about it on a Sunday and say, we hope you make it. We're going to actually show you and help you how to be a man or woman of destiny and how to really fulfill the purpose of God in your life. So we have life groups around the city. We have discipleship groups all around the city. If you want to know more about how can I really walk out my destiny, how can I be a man of God, how can I really be a woman of God, a person of purpose, and connect with God's purpose. Get with one of our life group leaders or one of the leaders up here, our prayer team. In fact, our prayer team coming up. Come talk to them, and they will help you. They'll direct you to someone, or we'll get you involved with someone who can help you in the life group, or we'll do it ourselves. So let's all stand together. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for, or this morning, rather. Thank you for all the good things you've done. Thank you for the fact that we are men and women of purpose and destiny, and we give you praise and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday, and we will see you next time. If you prayed to get right with God, please come forward.